So Braden Marcus, another teenager, he was contacted by one of these criminals, you know, catfishing him. They rapid fire groomed him. As soon as he complied, that's when the blackmail began. The threats were relentless. They threatened to ruin his life. Initial contact there was 11:01 p.m. Braden died by suicide at 11:28 p.m.
Introducing The Protectors, inside criminal minds from around the world. Presented by the IAFCI, leaders in safeguarding consumers from fraud and scams for more than 50 years. And now your hosts, International President Mark Solomon and Chairman of the Board Michael Carroll.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Carroll, International Chairman of the International Association of Financial Crimes Investigators. I am with Mark Solomon, our International President. Mark, how you doing today?
Mr. Chairman of the Board, I am doing well, and we are down here at our IAFCI Cyber Fraud Summit, hosted by our friends at TIAA in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're at their headquarters, and again, for us, this is day two. And man, I'll tell you, Mike, the speakers have been freaking incredible. Like, every time we go into a session, we're like, oh, we have to get them for the podcast. Oh, we got to get them for the podcast.
Exactly.
We're going to be here probably just an extra week just interviewing all the subject matter experts. So,
yeah, yesterday's TIAA Fraud Summit was outstanding. Today with the great speakers in the campus here. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm
it's
ready.
Beautiful. Hey, Mark, you heard me up on stage, right?
I did.
When I introduced myself.
I did.
And I mentioned that the difference between now and way, 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 way back when I attended the first conference, the itinerary was different, but we had ashtrays on the tables.
Okay.
That's how long ago I go back. Right. You know, nobody laughed too when I said that joke.
Yeah, you got the same response from our audience.
I'm consistent.
Here. So, hey, Mike, the conference started this morning with the keynote with our next guest, and he was just awesome. I know you and
Absolutely.
I sat in on it. We're like, oh, this is the first person we got to interview today. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Paul Raphael. He's a threat intel analyst, and he's from the great state of Connecticut, my hometown. And we were talking who had the best pizza, and I think we've come up with a top five list. So, hey, Paul, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Paul, we just saw your presentation, and if you could just talk about your last slide. I found that very powerful, the last bullet point. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah, so we ended on the note that cyber criminals called Yahoo Boys have killed more American teens in the past 2 years than ISIS ever has in their entire existence.
Wow. That's incredible.
That is powerful. And for our audience, your topic was on sextortion. And I think the first question our audience is going to say, who the heck are the Yahoo Boys? So, Paul, can you tell us a little bit about the Yahoo Boys and that name and what it means?
Absolutely. The Yahoo Boys are a loosely affiliated cyber criminal group based out of West Africa, particularly Nigeria. And they get their name from the free yahoo.com email addresses that they were using 20 years ago, you know, when they were sending us these Nigerian prince email scams, the 419 advance fee scams, the inheritance scams, that sort of thing.
We're going back to memory lane for our friend Mr. Carroll, who worked at the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. He remembers all those very well.
Mm-hmm.
And these criminals have moved on over the past 20 years from these Nigerian prince scams to, you know, Facebook romance scams, to crypto scams, to celebrity impersonation scams. And the scam that's making them so much money right now but having such a devastating impact on society is a scam called financial sextortion.
Mm-hmm. Paul, how did you get involved in investigating sextortion?
Actually, just over a year ago, one of my friends became a victim of this crime, and he came to me asking what he should do. I tried to give him good advice. I also wanted to know who is doing this crime. You know, where is this originating from? And is the advice that I actually gave good advice? Because these criminals, you know, they are threatening to ruin their victims' lives. And if you block the criminal, you know, I don't know if they actually follow through with the threats that they are making. So, you know, this has been a passion project, an investigation that I've been doing for the past year that has actually led us down some very interesting roads throughout this investigation.
Seeing your presentation today, you've done a lot of research. And I remember your first slide, you found an organization of those that have been victims of sextortion. And I saw all their emails, their comments, and it was so sad to see what they were saying. You know, somebody please help me. I don't know which way to go. And I don't know where you got that from, but just from Google or?
Yeah, so the initial part of my research focused on a sextortion victim support community on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. The largest sextortion support community in the world. And what I saw was every hour there were new victims posting in here saying, I'm thinking of killing myself. I have no way to exit the scam. These criminals are demanding another $1,000 from me. I've paid them already and they're demanding more and more. I feel like my life is ruined. You know, what can I do?
Right.
So, you know, but this also provided a lot of intel for me as an investigator. I started to notice a lot of patterns between these victim statements. Victims were saying they were receiving the same exact messages down to the same typos from these criminals. Mm. So to me, this started to look more like an invisible organized crime and not just individual isolated cases.
Yeah. And Paul, I have to commend you. There's a lot of people that probably would have said, oh, you know, I really don't know what the advice is, or you dove into this head first and you researched and this became a mission of yours, which I love. But the information that you provided and what you found out was really impressed the entire audience today. And I have to give you kudos for doing something like this, to take something on your own. It's not part of a business or job description. You're doing this because you care about people that are going through this and you want to help. So,
yeah, Mark, yeah. I just thought of it too. Paul, you mentioned right before your presentation, this presentation might not be for everybody because you put some sad details in there and it could affect people emotionally too.
Yeah, absolutely. In my view, this is the worst scam in the world, and it's the most dangerous scam in the world. You know, for every 1,000 reported cases of victims of the scam, there's at least one teen suicide as part of that. So, you know, just to put some numbers, back in 2021, there were only 139 reported cases of financial sextortion targeting minors here in the U.S. But by 2023, that number had jumped from 139 to over 26,000 reported cases. So that's an 18,000% increase in just a small time frame of 2 years.
Yeah.
And my research really dove into what caused such a huge surge and who is actually doing the majority of these scams.
Yeah. And Paul, you know, everybody in this room over the next 2 days were cybercrime investigators, fraud investigators. And sometimes we could forget that the victim that is a real person. And what struck me the most in your presentation was seeing the slides of these teenagers and even preteens that were targeted and wound up taking their life, or life was taken from them by the criminal. And it just reminds us why we do this every day, what you're doing. Mike and I had the opportunity to interview John DeMay last year and his son, Jordan, just an incredible young teenager, full of life and so much life ahead of him. And he was targeted within, like you said, 6 hours from the beginning of the sextortion scam. He took his own life. But thank you for reminding us every day and what you're doing, that this is a real person. There is a person that lost their life. There's a family that is grieving probably the rest of their life. So to me, that was something, you know, that was episode 64, right, Mike?
Right, I remember.
Jordan, yes. And
plus,
John.
He was at our international conference last year in Henderson, yeah. John DeMay, the father. And you mentioned it too, Paul, that he's out doing a lot of great things, Dad. He's out crisscrossing the country talking about, you know, how to prevent your child from being involved in this type of crazy scam.
Right. And it's so incredibly sad. So far, we know of at least 47 confirmed teen suicides as a result of this scam since end of 2021, start of 22. So in just a very short time frame, it's have devastating impacts.
Paul, go back to what you said about the cause. You said like an 18,000% increase. What do you think is the cause of that tremendous increase?
Yeah, so what we know is that these criminals called Yahoo Boys, this scam started to go viral amongst their criminal networks, their criminal ecosystems. Like I said, these criminals were the same ones doing the Nigerian Prince scams 20 years ago and moving on to a multitude of other scams in the meantime. And the scam that they are running right now that is making them a heck of a lot of money very quickly is this scheme called financial sextortion. What we found when we started to research what are these criminals doing, you know, they are going viral with these scams on their TikTok profiles, on their Facebook groups that are publicly accessible, and they have no remorse, and they are basically training other scammers, recruiting them into the scam with them so they can make more money, and training these scammers to commit sextortion with publicly accessible YouTube videos, with TikTok videos about how to target a victim, how to rapidly groom that victim to be comfortable enough to share a nude photo, and then what threats to use to successfully coerce and extort as much money as they can from that victim, not only once, but repeatedly.
And, you know, I remember early on when this fraud and this scheme took place, it didn't seem like the criminals did a ton of research on people. It was more about making a quick relationship, getting the photos. But now they're backing up their threats, right? They're actually researching who your friends are on Snapchat, Instagram, you know, other platforms. So they very well could follow through with the threats and have previously actually sent these photos to other individuals to show that they're not joking and that they want that money.
Absolutely. In the Jordan DeMay case, we know that it was actually six men in a room together who were targeting Jordan. One was chatting with him on the social media account. Another was running the money accounts. Another was doing their open source research on Jordan. What school does he go to? What town is he from? What are the different threats that we can use to leverage against him to make him ultimately pay up?
Yeah.
Well, on the Jordan case, two defendants were recently sentenced in Michigan. I think they got 17 and a half years each, but they were overseas, and one still overseas going to be returned to the States to face prosecutions being held. But you do mention that, like you're just saying now, there's co-conspirators still in the States that are participating in this scam.
Yes, which is very surprising to me because, you know, this is, like I mentioned, the worst, most diabolical and despicable scam that I think there is. No other scam involves coercing a kid to generate their own CSAM and then blackmailing them, sometimes to the point of suicide. There's no scam that even comes close to this. And, you know, surprising to me that there are money mules here in the U.S. that are actually facilitating some of the transactions to actually get the money overseas from Cash App, from Apple Pay, and then converting that over to crypto or some sort of overseas currency.
Mm-hmm. And Paul, you know, I want to take a look at, you know, you've done some research as to all this information being out there, like I said, in open source. You had numerous slides where you could read the entire script and playbook. You found commonalities with the same spelling errors, indicating it could be the same person or group of persons that are crafting these particular playbooks. But what are our social media companies doing? And in your opinion, are they doing enough to get this off social media as quick as possible?
Short answer is they are not doing enough. Man. What we know from victim statements and also data from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the top three apps where teens are being targeted for sextortion: Instagram, Snapchat, and Wiz. On Instagram, this is where criminals are targeting the teens most often. And Instagram actually has a privacy vulnerability where the moment that, even if a teen has a private account, the moment that they accept a scammer's or a catfish friend request, a follow request, their entire network, their friends list, their followers list, are exposed to that criminal. And that information, those lists, are what the criminals are screenshotting immediately and using that as the leverage. Do not block me, because if you do, I will, you know, send these photos out to everybody on your contact list, everybody on your friends list. And so there are some very practical privacy settings that I think should be the default for not only all teens, but perhaps all social media users, where perhaps those contact lists are there should be a setting to make them private, but there's not. You know, Snapchat, for example, is known by teens for its disappearing photos. And the criminals leverage that false sense of security to lure the teens over to Snapchat, where they think they can exchange these photos with the person who they think is a young female their age.
Right.
And unfortunately, the criminals are, of course, able to surreptitiously record that material.
Yeah, and you mentioned the last one is Wiz?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Sorry.
Most people haven't. Yeah, Wiz is actually an up-and-coming, very new app. It has less than 10 million registered users. But somehow it was the number three app for sextortion, far above Facebook, Telegram, Discord, all these other apps that have billions of registered users. So I was quite surprised to see that the prevalence of sextortion on Wiz was ginormous. following our research, Wiz was actually removed from the App Store because of such a high risk for sextortion on that platform. They were removed for about a month. They came back with a whole bunch of new safety features. They were readmitted to the App Store once they had age verification, identity verification, and other tools that would prevent sextortion and catfishing from that app. So it was good to see that these things are possible and definitely easy to implement for some of these platforms. They did it in 30 days or less. So the fact that this problem is still happening so much on Instagram right now is really just disconcerting.
Yeah. Remember August, last week in August, we have our international conference. Once again, it's going to be in Oklahoma City. Our theme is Fraud is Not Okay. And man, I'll tell you what, I looked at the agenda. Superstar after superstar after superstar. So listen, if you're in the private sector, you're in the public sector, and you're fighting the good fight, this is where you recharge your batteries. You get armed with information, and you can go out there fresh and ready to take on these criminals. We got to fight back. We got to do what's necessary. We got to protect our citizens. So please go to our IFCI website. That's iafci.org and sign up right away. So, Paul, I was wondering, you know, in the age that we're in right now, especially with generative AI, you know, AI is not good or bad. You know, it all depends whose hands it's in. But what are these social media companies doing or not doing to use this same technology to prevent this stuff from being posted or taken down immediately once it is?
I'm glad you mentioned AI. Before I get into the social platform, I'll tell you how the criminals are using it in this scenario.
Okay.
So some victims or some targets have rightfully chosen, hey, I'm not going to send this nude photo even though this person is asking for it.
Yep.
And in those scenarios, some of these criminals are just generating a nude photo from that victim's Instagram account, a normal photo, putting it through a nudifying or close off AI tool, and then using that to blackmail the kid. So the victim can do everything right,
right,
not send a photo, limit whatever they can, and still they can still get blackmailed. So AI is definitely being used by the criminals already. And like you said, the platforms should be able to use some sort of AI tools to stop, prevent, detect. And, you know, some of the detections here don't even need AI. It's basic right. scripts, it's basic keywords, it's the same images being used repeatedly.
And Paul, that's a great point to bring up about how the criminals are using this. So, you know, the kids don't have to do anything wrong. They don't submit a picture and now it's being fabricated and using that same threat vector to get money. I think recently there was a law that's going to be signed now, a take it down, and it addresses this sort of revenge. A little bit different, you know, might be a real relationship where somebody wound up to add some intimate photos, they break up, and then they release these photos. But the concept here is that, you know, something's going up that's inappropriate, and it needs to be taken down. How are social media companies using that same technology, AI, to stop some of this from happening?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Take It Down Act, which is passed Congress and is now waiting for the president's signature. Additionally, there are other resources that have come out recently to help these victims, whether they're teens, whether they're adults, to actually prevent those images from being uploaded or shared on social media. So there's takeitdown.ncmic.org for teens, and there's stopncii, that's non-consensual intimate imagery.org for adult victims. Mm. And so they use AI tools to basically hash those images, those videos, to prevent them from being uploaded on social media platforms.
Paul, again, to go back to your presentation, because it was awesome, but I was curious what you put up on the screen about the method of payment, how these kids are paying the ransom, basically. Could you give like the top three method of payment that they send to the fraudsters?
Yeah, the top three methods that I'm seeing right now, victims are sending their money to the fraudsters, number one, via Cash App for sextortion payments. Number two is Venmo. We see gift cards, and we also see crypto up there as well. You know, Cash App is very popular amongst teens and the young population. And Cash App was actually the first of the peer-to-peer payment processors back in quarter four of 2021 to roll out their teen accounts, Cash App accounts for teens. When did the surge of financial sextortion targeting teens start? Quarter four of 2021. So at the same time that, you know, Cash App and other platforms followed, you know, the same time that they were offering their peer-to-peer payment services to teens, they inadvertently opened up these teens as a new vector for potential victims of fraud, because if now that they're connected to the international financial markets, you know, any fraudster, any scammer, any criminal can now target these teens as well.
Paul, just regarding the gift cards, and we see a lot of imposter scams, especially with the elderly, where they go out and buy gift cards and then they turn them over and they read the numbers off the back and now the fraudster's got the money. Is that the same type where they kids go out and buy gift cards, read the numbers off to the fraudster, now they're using it to make purchases?
Exactly, just like that. You know, whether they are purchasing the gift cards at their local convenience store or whether they're purchasing them immediately online, because that's a lot faster and the criminals are demanding money very quickly. Yes, and we're seeing a lot of Steam gift cards, Razer gift cards. These are different than most other gift cards, because what's interesting here with these is, you know, most gift cards will try to prevent fraud by saying that they can only be used in the currency locally where they were purchased and only used domestically in the country in which they were purchased. Now, Steam and Razer, they don't have those protections. So that's why they have become very popular among scammers as potential cash out methods.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's Steam? What's Razer?
Those are both kind of geared towards gaming communities, gotcha. Software communities. Okay. So you can download Xbox games or video games with those gift cards.
Okay, yeah. And what's Xbox?
No, I'm just kidding. So, Paul, I want to go back, and you said this: these are the same criminals that started with the Prince scam. And how did we get from that to extortion, to a point where we're threatening young children, young teenagers, to a point where even we're telling them to commit suicide? You know, how has it evolved into something so ugly?
Well, these scammers have playbooks, and they are not... Most of them are not just running one scam. They're running multiple different scams. And, you know, especially romance scams in the past, you know, these are terrible scams that, you know, exploit the vulnerability, the need for love, the need for compassion, similar human vulnerabilities that are exploited as part of the sextortion scam. But these criminals realized, hey, it takes 3 months for me to develop a relationship in a romance scam in order to get a big payout. But it only takes me 30 minutes to groom a teen into potentially producing an intimate image. And then even if they're only getting $50, $100, that's enough for rent for an entire month or salary for an entire month in some countries of West Africa. So yeah, the criminals have evolved. They've done multiple different scams, crypto scams, celebrity impersonation scams. And you know, my point of view is that the more hurdles we put in the way to make sextortion not a viable scam, they will simply return to the other scams, and it's not great, but I'm kind of okay with that, because at least those scams aren't killing kids.
Yeah. And, you know, I have my own thoughts too about this, because I thought about it myself. I'm like, why has it gone this bad? There's a couple of things. You know, they're basically two sorts of frauds. It's too good to be true, something great's going to happen to you, or, you know, something really bad's going to happen to you. And this is really kind of a combination of both, where at first you think you're meeting somebody, you're building a very quick relationship, romance, and then all of a sudden it turns very ugly. And what we've seen in the frauds is the more threatening this behavior is, or the consequences, the more likely, one, somebody's going to give the money, and two, they're probably not going to report it to law enforcement if it's something that's embarrassing. So, and then you also mentioned this really spiked in 2021, right?
It started to grow exponentially in 2021.
And I just wonder how much COVID played into that, you know, where kids were being isolated in schools, not having direct contact with students, having to sit so many feet apart, not being able to do social events and sports. And they turned to their computers and their cell phones. And I think the criminals took advantage of that opportunity.
That's right. And, you know, organizations that focus on child online safety, like Thorn, they do research on teen sentiment and child sentiment, like how normal is it, or how normal do they perceive it to, like, send nudes online despite being underage. And, you know, the data is alarming, especially post-COVID. You know, a lot of these teen relationships are just developing and happening solely online, or at least starting online. And I think the criminals have really taken advantage of that.
Yeah, Paul, it's most of these victims, are these young adult males?
According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is tracking these cases through their helpline, 90% of victims that they receive are boys between the ages of 14 to 17. I'm also seeing, anecdotally, a lot of cases coming from university-aged young adult males as well.
And you mentioned just a few minutes ago that these fraudsters like this type of scam because you can move quickly on it.
Yeah. Jordan, just 17, you know, within 6 hours, he was originally contacted. I think it was 11 o'clock at night. He was dead within 6 hours. There was another scenario, Braden Marcus, another teenager, and he was contacted by one of these criminals, you know, catfishing him. First contact started at 11:01 p.m. They, you know, rapid fire groomed him. They sent a nude photo first. They requested one from him. As soon as he complied, that's when the blackmail began. The threats were relentless. They threatened to ruin his life, get him expelled from school, kicked off sports teams. And, you know, I mentioned initial contact there was 11:01 p.m. Braden died by suicide at 11:28 p.m. Wow. That same night. So wow. 27 minutes is all it takes.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Mark Solomon, International President of the IAFCI.
And I'm Doug Taylor, Executive Producer, and you're listening to the sound of a war, a silent one.
For 57 years, we've trained the world's top fraud investigators in banking, law enforcement, and cybercrime.
And this August 25th through the 29th, we're going live in Oklahoma City. Real cases, real tradecraft, and real impact.
Register now at IAFCI.org. And remember, fraud waits for no one. Hey, I want to turn to something very important here. And I know our audience, we have probably teenagers, college students listening to this, and adults and parents. What message can you give from your research about parents and what do they need to do? Nobody wants anybody to go through this situation. A teen, you know, or the impact of a suicide. How do we prevent this from happening?
Well, the first thing to know is I think every teen with an active social media account, particularly Instagram and Snapchat, will be targeted by this scam. Whether or not they become a victim, you know, hopefully that's something we can prevent by raising awareness and education. So first thing, I think parents already have the discussion, don't send nudes, don't send photos to people you don't know online, or just don't do it at all. That's fine. We're already doing that. I think there needs to be a part two to that conversation where if it happens, you know, if someone tricks you, if you're in a sticky situation, you know, come to us as, you know, as parents, you know, you should say that we will kind of have that soft landing. Let them come to you. Let them know it's not the end of the world and let them know that the scam is happening. Far too often, these criminals are scaring these kids, thinking that they can't tell anyone, they can't go to their parents, they think they're going to get in trouble. And, you know, that's when this results in suicides, yeah, because that's the mentality that these criminals are setting into their minds.
And kudos to you, Paul. You mentioned in your presentation that you set up a meeting with a lot of federal agencies and social media companies. You got them all together. What was that about?
Yeah, so that was an amazing webinar. We held it April last year, and we had FBI, DOJ, Homeland Security on that call. We also had, you know, the social platforms, Snap, Meta, Discord, Google. And more importantly, we had five of the parents from some of these victims to speak out, talk about what happened to their family and what are the solutions from a law enforcement perspective, from a financial institution perspective. From the social media perspective, what should they be doing? So we really approached it holistically, and I think it was a phenomenal event. Heartbreaking to hear directly from those parents, but very, very necessary.
You know, Paul, I love the messages that you gave to parents, the part one and part two. And I think even with part one, I think a lot of parents will, you know, tell their kids, hey, don't take any nude photos of yourself or send it to somebody. And sometimes kids could mistake that as, well, just parents being parents. And, you know, I'm a young teenager. I think they need to be told of this specific scam and what happens. They need to hear the story of a Jordan DeMay or another victim from their family. And I know John DeMay, who was on our podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's made it a mission to make sure that parents properly inform them. And, again, you know, he doesn't believe kids should be on this much social media at this age. And I've seen it. I've seen my kids grow up. And, You know, I remember getting my first computer, a Texas Instrument, you know, and now our cell phones are computers. But children growing up, you know, and I don't want to get into Freud or neurobiological stuff, but our brains are not developed as teenagers, none of ours. You know, when I was a teenager, I didn't know everything. And the targeting of this population is they haven't experienced a lot of pain or suffering or difficult situations. So I think parents just need to have this talk and explain fully why not to do it. It's not because I'm a parent, I just don't want you to send pictures of yourself. Explain that there's bad people out there in every social media site looking to commit sextortion, and I don't want that to happen to you.
That's right. And especially because the victims of this crime are not those who are typically exposed to sexually motivated online enticement and things like that. So I think that's precisely one of the reasons why these criminals are targeting boys, is because they are not used to going online and every day they're being, you know, targeted in sexual advances.
Took me like 4 years
advances.
To talk to the girl that, you know, I liked in grammar school, you know, but, you know, now it's easier where it's online. You don't have that pressure of being nervous or you're, you know, or I hope I'm not sweating too much in front of this girl that I like. But, you know, there's a comfort there and there feels like there's a safety there, but it's really not. It's actually, to me, a bigger threat than, you know, meeting somebody in person and taking that first step to say hello or whatever.
Yeah, remember the high school dances or even your eighth grade dance, all the guys on one side, girls on the other, and then you go home and what's out there? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Let me just ask something, Paul. This is crazy, but if somebody got involved, say I got involved in this, I never would, never possibility, but couldn't I use the excuse that that's not me, that's AI?
I think that's one of the silver linings of this whole AI.
It's for good
right
somewhat now.
Yeah, victims can say, if that photo does end up getting leaked or something like that, victims now have the chance to say, oh, that's AI generated, it's not me. They have that plausible deniability. And also there are tools out there like Take It Down, like Stop NCII, that would actually remove those images from social media platforms. Mm. So to victims, like, it's important to know that even if this does happen to you, like, it's not the end of the world.
What was the organization, NCII?
StopNCII.org is for adults to remove non-consensual intimate imagery from online websites, and takeitdown.ncmec.org is for minors.
Yeah, we'll definitely get that in the show notes. And in your research, have you collected all the names of the victims, teenage victims?
Or
is there a site?
So yeah, we know that there has been at least 47 confirmed teen suicides as a result of the scam. Most of these cases we know just because of local public reporting about these cases. And yeah, the media, especially several years ago, was not linking all these cases together. But yeah, right now we know of 47 cases.
Wow. You investigate fraud, chase bad guys, you're probably lost some sleep over pig butchering scams. So let me ask, where are you on August 25th through August 29th? I'm Mark Solomon, president of the IAFCI. We're hosting our 2025 International Conference in Oklahoma City. It's 5 days of hard-hitting training, crypto, skimming, romance scams, retail fraud, ethics, the whole nine. If you're serious about stopping financial crime, pack your bags now. Register at IAFCI.org. Fraud waits for no one. So the last thing, and maybe it's more of a comment, I'd love to get your response to it, is, you know what, there's a lot of parents out there that love their children and they want to respect their privacy and they want to treat them like adults, you know, and give them as much freedom as possible. But I'm going to tell you something as a parent. Your primary goal is not to be your child's best friend. Your job is to protect them and get them through these teenage years to a point where they are able to make decisions, understand the complexities of all this. So if there's a parent out there and thinking like, oh, I shouldn't look at my kid's phone, or I shouldn't inquire what they're doing on the phone or on the computer, listen, you don't ever want this to happen to your family, and you will regret every time that you had an opportunity to communicate with your son or daughter. So please, please get rid of that mentality and be their protector first. You could love your child, you could support them, You could teach them independence, but God, please don't miss the opportunity to sit down, have a conversation, and see what they're doing. Take an active role in what they're doing.
Well, Mark, you know what? The last 2 days, we've had a lot of protectors that we've talked to. And Paul, you're another one. What you're doing is outstanding, protecting our young. And we really appreciate you here today. You had an awesome, awesome presentation today. That's why we asked you right away. Hey, you got a few minutes. So thank you for everything that you do. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Paul, I want to piggyback on that. You know, for a lot of us, it might be part of our job. It might be part of our business. But what I love about you is that you did this because a friend reached out to you and you wanted to give him the right answer. And it turned into you reaching out to federal law enforcement, getting all these agencies in a meeting with social media to effect change. So like I said, when it comes to heroes and protectors, you're high, high up on that list, and we really appreciate what you're doing and volunteering your knowledge and your subject matter expert to others so this doesn't continue to happen.
And Paul, can we put your information on our show notes if somebody wants to reach out to you, have a situation that they might want to discuss with you related
you
to
sure can.
Extortion?
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
Mike, I got to tell you, we felt a power in his presentation this morning. That's why we had to get him on the podcast right away. But just the soul of a person, boy, you know, to go out there and research this, to bring about change, no benefit to himself, but to just give of himself to help others, strangers, potential victims, man, I'll tell you, that guy is one hell of a protector, I'll tell you.
I know we call them protectors, but I'm thinking more superhero for what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, protecting our young and for him to take it upon himself to get the word out there, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And that's what I love. You know, like I said, none of us, I don't think, took our jobs here at the IFCI, you know, our day-to-day jobs to be millionaires. We probably would have gone into a different profession, but we have that commitment to serve and to help others. And that guy right there is, he's from Connecticut. I know that. And we're going to be friends for a long time, so.
And the best pizza in Chicago, it's Nick and Vito's.
Yeah, no. Connecticut's the best. I want to go there. So, folks, and I know there's people listening out here right now in this podcast that might be victimized right now or may get victimized in the future. There's a parent sitting here saying, you know what, maybe I should have that conversation with my son or daughter. Have it. Take this opportunity before these bad people strike and try and commit this scheme on your children. So, you know what, Mike? You know who's also really awesome? Our subscribers.
You're right.
You know, like I said, they're part of the Protectors Army. Maybe you don't have kids, but share this information. Tell everybody about this podcast. There's so many great people out here doing great things to protect our society and our citizens, and knowledge is key.
And Mark, I have to give a shout out to IFCI Protectors Podcast and Doug and Chris and you. But when Paul talked today and he was talking, the first picture on his presentation was Jordan to me.
Yeah.
And it was such an important topic. And that's why we brought Paul back today.
Yeah. And great. For those that might be new to the Protectors Army, if you want to hear more and the impact that this can have on a family, on a person, individual, you could always go back to podcast number 64. Which was on May 13th, 2024. And you could hear Jordan DeMay's story from his father, John, and the impact that it had. Mike, for our listeners, where can they find the Protectors Podcast?
Well, they go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're there. Our subscribers are growing, so we want you on board.
Yeah. And folks, if you're looking to reach out, maybe you're a victim of a crime and like to share your story with others or your subject matter expert, please shoot us an email. We have a brand new email address. It is protectorspodcast@iafci.org. Love to hear from you or even comments about the show. Well, Mike, we're going to sign off for now. We have some more training going on here at the Cyber Summit. So I'm going to kick things off first and say goodbye to our audience and subscribers, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm Mark Solomon, International President of the IFCI.
And Mark, I just remembered, I'm going to send Paul a koozie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll send him a koozie.
I like it.
And this is Mike Carroll, International Chairman. We'll see you again.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Remember, as you join the fight to protect our citizens, you're not alone. With more than 6,500 members from around the world, the men and women of the IAFCI are standing together with you. To learn more or to join the IAFCI, please visit our website at www.iafci.org. The Protectors Podcast is produced by Modified Media and is available for free wherever you listen to podcasts. The hosts and guests' opinions are their own and do not reflect those of management, employers, or sponsors. Listeners are encouraged to contact law enforcement if they suspect being a victim of a crime.